The text is Psalm 63, verse 5 and 6. The title of today's message is Remembering the Lord. The text goes like this: My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. This is David. And we know David was a man of war, had a lot of blood in his hands, but he was also a type of Christ and someone who was really, really close to the Lord. Why? Because even though he made mistakes in his life, or he sinned in his life, he was always searching for the Lord. He was searching for the Lord in righteousness, in his law, and he was always searching for the Lord in repentance. Okay, he never got fed up of God's laws and God's ways, and he knew when he went wrong. And now we're going to examine why David was so close to the Lord, even him being a king. Because usually what kings do is they get this attitude, you know, I'm the king and everybody bows down to me. But David knew that he bowed down to God. And that's how he ruled Israel. Okay, that's how he ruled the kingdom. He knew that it was God's land and he gave God reverence. And when he did something wrong, he himself as a king bowed down to God. Okay, by tomorrow, it's going to be a new year. So we see that people have different practices associated with this celebration or event. So some people go outside and wait for a ball to come down and stay in the freezing weather and then get all excited, get drunk and have parties. Some people spend it with their families and others couldn't care less about the whole thing. All right, it's no big deal to them. We have to remember that in reality, it's just a changing of the year. It's a changing of a number, the last number. So it goes from 2017 to 2018. Really, all that changes is the 8 and the 7, right? And that's basically it. It doesn't really mean anything. Rich people were rich on the 31st, and they're going to be rich on the 1st. Dumb people were dumb on the 31st, and they're going to be dumb on the 1st. Nothing changes. So it's just the calendar that changes. It's not some magical thing that happens. You weren't like fat on the 31st of December, and all of a sudden you make a New Year's resolution and you're going to be skinny on the 1st of January. So some of us will make resolutions, but most of us, about a month into the year, will not, will not fulfill our resolutions. We'll give up on them. We'll forget about them. Most of us, it'll take less than a month to do. So that's the reality of New Year's and its resolutions. Now it's time to learn a little history and see why and where this came from. I got this information from a website called BillPetro.com. All right, this guy he claims he's a historian. I don't know. I didn't check the website. But the information was good on the New Year's, where it came from, on the history of New Year's, okay? Now, I'm quoting the article. This celebration began in pre-Christian times, beginning with the Babylonians in March, but changed to January by the Romans. January gets its name from Janus, the two-faced god who looks backwards into the old year and forwards into the new. Janus was also the patron and protector of arches, gates, doors, doorways, endings, and beginnings. He was also the patron of bridges, and there is a statue set on the bridge Ponte Fabrizio, I'm not kidding, which crosses the Tiber River in Rome to Tiber Island, where it survives from its original construction in 62 BC during the time of Julius Caesar. All right, so it's almost 2,000 years old, this statue. Even today, it is believed that if you touch the Janus head as you cross the bridge, it will bring you good fortune. So a lot of Roman superstition in New Year's, the beginning of the belief of New Year's, okay? So first I need to point out that this article mentions pre-Christian. What I believe he really meant was pre-Catholic, not pre-Christian. Okay. Second, we see clearly that the same Catholic system blended the worship of idols from the Greeks and the Romans. We know from history that Catholicism was blended with paganism under the rule of a pagan ruler named Constantine around 300 BC. So now we're going to continue with the article. That was just a side note. So, and with the New Year's resolution, we see the custom of setting New Year's resolutions began during the period in Rome 2,000 years ago, as they made such resolutions with a moral flavor, mostly to be good to others. But when the Roman Empire took Christianity or Catholicism as its official state religion in the 4th century, these moral intentions were replaced by prayers and fastings. That's the history. It's a Roman idol-worshipping holiday, okay, that was blended with Catholicism in around 300 BC, AD, sorry, not BC, after the death of Christ. And then what happened is it evolved into something else in the United States. When the Puritans came over to the United States and settled in America, they didn't want to call January because it referred to the Roman god Janus. Okay? So they called it the first month, and then the second month, and the third month, and the fourth month. They didn't, because all those, the months and the days of the week are all Roman gods. Okay, names of Roman gods. So they didn't want to do that. So they changed it, though. It wasn't a thing of where I'll be mostly good to others, but it was more of an introspection. It was more like I'm going to analyze myself and try to better myself. So the Puritans did that. They reversed it to what the Romans had. So unfortunately, today we have a very liberal attitude to everything. So that translates to the celebration of really pagan gods. We see that the Puritans tried to put a religious twist on it, but yet the best thing to do is to leave it alone altogether, because this leads to greater compromises in the future, which we know we've compromised with a lot of things, being Bible-believing Christians, okay? So you let in a little bit. The Bible says a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You can't just put a little leaven because it's going to leaven the dough completely. So that's what happened with New Year's celebrations. So the point of today's sermon is not to glorify one day over another, but to show you that biblically speaking, there is a time and a place for reflection. And what better way to introduce you to the concept of reflection than the end of a new year and the beginning of another? So the text that we're using today says, I'll repeat it, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. This is very important. This is one of the keys to being a Christian. Thank you, Lord, for this message. Blessed to our minds and hearts. Help us apply what we've learned here what we're going to learn here today, and be with us for the rest of the year and the years coming. But I do pray that that the rapture happens as soon as possible, as soon as you allow it. But protect us as we're going through this swamp and evil world. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. This is going to be a four-part message. Today we're getting the first part, okay, and you'll see why. David, King David, was a master of self-reflection. This is what kept him honest with the Lord. This is what enabled him to repent at the right times in his life and still have a great relationship with the Lord and his law. A good practice on a daily, not yearly basis, is at night, when you lie down on your bed, you go through the day in your mind and reflect on the good, the bad, and the ugly. Then, bringing up the moments you think you should to the Lord and ask him for help or forgiveness for the things you failed at. Because when we do good to the Lord. When we fail to the Lord. We do all things unto the Lord. So we got to keep that mind in ourselves. We think that we have personal failures. We have this, that, and no, it's the Lord's always watching. He's always there. And we need to be mindful of that. So that's why there's repentance. That's why we go to him, ask forgiveness, all that stuff. Okay. So it's a daily practice that David did. Well, actually it's a nightly practice that he did to analyze himself and to see where he went wrong, what he did right, stuff, and bring it up to the Lord. To stay honest and true with the Lord. So that's the key to having an honest relationship with the Lord, and it'll make you sleep much better at night without the use of drugs, legal or illegal. Here are the four steps to a successful relationship with the Lord. And the four steps are found in the verse itself, or the two verses. One is remember. Two is meditate. 3 is satisfaction, and 4 is praise. So we have remember, meditate, satisfaction, and praise. And when do we do this? David says you do this in your bed, in the night watches. So at night, when you're reflecting, you're peaceful, focused on sleeping. So you're in that state where you can think of things and you're not all stressed up. So that's the 4 points. That's going to be the 4 studies that we're going to do 1 week after the other. Today, we're going to deal with remember. Because the verse says, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. The word remember appears 148 times in the Bible. And it appears in 43 out of the 66 books of the Bible. So I would say that remembering to the Lord is very, very important. But what's interesting, we have different types of remembering. So the definition of remembering is to have in the mind an idea which had been in the mind before and which recurs to the mind without effort. So the first mention is in Genesis 9:15, when God makes a promise to Noah that he will not destroy the earth with water again. There's a distinction between remember and recollection. Remember is something that happens immediately or in the close past. A recollection is something that I have to think about. Oh yeah, I remember when I was, 20 years old and I did that. That's recollection, going back far in the past. But right now, what we're talking about is remembering the day's events, what happened in the short distance of the past, so we can keep honest accounts with God. So we have to see what Paul says, because Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles, and we kind of take our marching orders from Paul. So in Philippians 3:13, it says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. He's talking about here in this verse about recollection, things in the past, in the far distant past, and not remembering. So when he says, forget those things which are behind, he means forget them. Because if we're saved, they're under the blood of Christ. They're gone. They're finished. Even though we might remember them every once in a while, all of it is gone. It's finished to God. So what's the point of remembering those things that were in the past? Good or bad? Make new memories. Make new good memories. Okay, with the Lord.